Friends, before we begin today's program, I need to update you on the Compassion Radio Summer Challenge. You probably know that summer is usually a time of low average giving for ministries. And that's true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. So even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of continuing and uninterrupted ministry and partnership with you, right now we're facing a budget deficit that we just simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you today, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us right now. Thanks so much for all you continue to do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects, and then to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you so much for standing with us right now.
Today on Compassion Radio.
Well, what was your heart feeling at that time? Did you really feel like you were saving a baby's life, or were you simply falling in love with a little child and saving the life didn't matter?
Well, I think it mattered. It mattered very much. I know probably somebody else would have adopted her, but it got to the point that we had fallen totally in love with her. Roy mentioned one day to somebody else when everything was over, they said, "How did Shirley feel about this?" He said, "Well, I think she felt fine, just like I did." But he said, "If she had said no, I think I might just have died right here in Africa."
And welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm your host, Frank Montenegro. You know, since its foundation, Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, has rescued 1,685 babies. Now, let me say that again. 1,685 little babies rescued by Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa. Today, the president of the Compassion Radio Board, Cher Nelson, talks with Shirley Smith, a woman who, along with her husband, adopted one of those babies. My friend, you are going to be blown away by this amazing success story. Here's Cher to start things off.
Well, friends, we have something really special for you today. We have the mom of one of our original babies from Door of Hope. Old-time listeners will remember that Norm and I came to know about Door of Hope in South Africa through the internet from a listener in Indonesia who had heard about Door of Hope. And when she heard about the compassion projects that we were doing in various places, she emailed us and said, "You have to know about this place in South Africa that's dug a hole in their church wall and they're rescuing abandoned babies." And we said, "Oh my goodness, we have to find out about this." So we contacted them, and very shortly after, we took a trip down to Johannesburg, South Africa to see it for ourselves, because of course, any project we ever do here at Compassion Radio, we have already seen for ourselves. We know the people involved. We know what the need is. We know that the funds will be used well. And even though we had to go that far to check on this one, every minute was worth it. And while we were there on that very first trip to Door of Hope, we met some wonderful people. And today we have Shirley Smith with us, who is the wife of Roy Smith. She and her husband were both there at that time. Shirley, it is such a thrill for me to get to talk to you today and to get your story, because you were there firsthand at the very beginning of this. And I wonder if you would start out by just telling your story as to how you heard about Door of Hope, how you came to be there. What were your first impressions?
Well, thank you, Sharon. It's a pleasure to be with you folks today. God called us to South Africa to be the partnership coordinators, not necessarily to be a part of this project, but we began to look for a church once we arrived in the city. And we were told about this little church named Berea down in the middle of a bad section in Johannesburg. We met the pastor. We felt there was a need there, that we should belong and help serve alongside of the pastor and her husband. When we got into the church, we were enjoying all the people there, so many nations involved, 16 to 18 nations probably represented on a given Sunday in that little church. And then we heard about babies that were being abandoned every week. And we began to pray for those babies. Every time we met at the church, we prayed for the babies and prayed for them at home. Then one day there was a little baby boy that was abandoned not very far from the church. And we were just in anguish over this happening. the little baby boy passed away later that day. They did not save him in time. So we began to talk to the authorities. The police told us there were around 30 babies in the city of Johannesburg being abandoned every month.
Yes, and tell us what year that was, because that was a long time ago and the statistics are much higher now.
Yes, that was 1998. In the greater Johannesburg area, which includes Soweto, there was about 90 a month.
Soweto is a black township in Johannesburg.
Yes, and it was overwhelming us. And, you know, we're praying and praying, but it continues to happen and more of them continues to happen. And they were abandoned in all sorts of ways. They would be left in the big dust bins uptown where people throw their garbage.
What we would call a dumpster, right?
That's right. We would call that a dumpster here in the city. And then on the roadside, in the bushes, they found little ones. And we just became sensitive to all of that and decided we must do something else. We began to think, what could we do and what kind of facilities did we have to do it with? We had an extra house in the church property. What we did was our head deacon of our church and his family lived there, but it was sort of a big house. There were some extra rooms, and they agreed to let us have some baby rooms where we would set up cribs and get ready for some babies, because we were going to put a hole in the wall, like an aluminum bin that has a flap on the outside. The inside of the bin has a foam that you can put the baby on, because they would not want to come inside the gate to give us the baby.
Right.
They were afraid we would catch them or have them sign something. So they would do it in the dark and leave. And so at the time they would put the baby in the bin, a buzzer would ring on the inside of the house, and they would come out and take that baby inside. And of course, we had volunteers helping the deacon's wife with that in the beginning. And
that was Margaret, right?
That was Margaret, yes. She had already had two little ones of her own, and then later they had another little one also. And then it began to grow. We saw we were filling that house up, so we were able to get another house, and then the house out in the other area in the suburbs that you all so graciously helped us to secure, and now it's still housing many babies every day, and we're so grateful for that.
Our listeners are definitely a part of that. Our longtime listeners were the ones that provided the money. We pledged it at the moment that we knew of the need, but our precious listeners are the ones that provided the funds.
Yeah.
One of the babies that was one of the very first that came through the bin and was kind of crammed in the bin because she was a little bit older was a little girl named Georgina. Tell us about the day that, that Georgina arrived.
Yes, we think she was somewhere between 10, 11 months, maybe even 12 months. Our pastor, Carol Allen, was on the property that day at the church. She rang the bell and they went out and brought her and the little girl in. The pastor asked her what she needed, and she said that they didn't have a place to live. She didn't have a job, and she was just wondering what we were about to do here at this church. Pastor explained to her that we were taking in abandoned babies. She looked down at Georgina, and she thought that Georgina looked very stressed and strained. She could have been abused, at least emotionally and mentally. The mother, she didn't want to come in and sign any paperwork or anything like that. Would she be able just to keep her? And, you know, that was our very first big mistake. We were only going to take babies. But the pastor kept just looking at this little girl thinking, you know, she's just not herself, that something's wrong, and I can't let her go back out the gate because she's going to live on the street again tonight. So she agreed to take her. It was our very first experience. She agreed to take her. She said, but please come back tomorrow, and we'll work this out and get it all sorted. Well, she never came back. It was almost a year before she showed back up. And by that time, we had made sure that Georgina was not physically abused. We had her to the doctor immediately, checked her out as we do all the babies. She was not physically abused, we don't think. But mentally and emotionally, we feel sure, because we think that she was left in different places by her mom and just, you know, no telling where. And I remember the first Sunday that we had Georgina in the property, we had not seen her yet. As I went to church that Sunday, I was just milling around, visiting with all the people, giving my hugs on Sunday morning. And I saw this little girl standing over near the fence by herself. Of course, I know Margaret was watching over her, but I just saw her standing there alone. And I asked one of the ladies, who's the little girl? And they said, that's the new baby that we brought in this week. And I went over and I knelt down in front of her And I took her little hands and I began to talk to her. And just like she was looking through me or past me, so unemotional, nothing there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she wouldn't try to talk to us, but we didn't really know what sort of language she might have picked up in all of the time that she had been on the earth. So we just loved on her and the staff loved on her. And wow, within a few months, she just sort of began to break out of the shell. Of course, we were in and out of the Door of Hope so much because we brought volunteers into the city to do mission projects. That was our job to coordinate that. We would go over. Well, they always wanted to go see the Door of Hope. Of course, these churches were very, very faithful to help us support the Door of Hope. So we always took the group in so they could go back and tell the others what the mission was. We would take them in for the tour, and little Georgina just sort of fell in love with us, and especially Roy.
And she sure did.
Crawl in his arms, and he just thought the world of her right at the first. And when he put her down, she cried. And after a while, the volunteers called him to the side one day, and they said, "Pastor Roy, you must not pick up Georgina anymore when you come to visit. We don't coddle our babies like this in Africa. You know, we don't do that. And the second thing is that when you put her down, she cries and pitches fits, and we have to deal with that." He said, "I promise I won't do that anymore. I am so sorry. I just wanted to love on her a little bit." The next time we were there, she ran up to Roy, and he knelt down in front of her. He said, "Georgina, I can't hold you today. You're going to have to walk beside me. I'll hold your hand. We're going to have to show the volunteers the baby house." And that didn't suit her a bit. She put her little feet up on one of his shoes and held her around his leg, and he literally drug her through the house like that every time we went from then on. She was going to hold on to him and be with him one way or the other. Oh. Didn't matter what. And he would look at the volunteers and they just put their arms in the air and say, "We don't know what to do with her."
Bless her heart.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Cher Nelson. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
When everything is right, God says, "Go." When God says, "Go," His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. So good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
She put her little feet up on one of his shoes and held her around his leg, and he literally drug her through the house like that every time we went from then on. she was going to hold on to him and be with him one way or the other. Oh. Didn't matter what. And he would look at the volunteers and they just put their arms in the air as if to say, we don't know what to do with her.
Bless her heart.
She's been the little mascot of that place.
She sure has, the poster girl. Absolutely.
She is the poster girl. And of course, she has been back in the last few years and volunteered in the summer. She's had two summers that she volunteered to go back and help take care of the babies.
Right.
And give back a little bit of what she was given.
We'll get back to that in a minute. But
yeah,
when we were there, Georgina had not really warmed up yet.
Right.
She
right.
had the most piercing stare.
Yes.
And the most sober little face.
Uh-huh.
She was at a point where she was a little bit more trusting. She would let us uh-huh. be with her and talk uh-huh. to her, but you couldn't get a smile out of that little girl. Norm turned himself inside out trying yeah. to get a smile from her. And on the last day that we were there, he got a little bit of a grin with a really shy look. Yeah. And he yeah. just thought he had accomplished miracles.
Yeah. And she was probably standing way over in the corner of the room when he did that.
Either that or behind Cheryl's leg.
Yes. I knew that she usually did that because we could tell when other volunteers walked into the room, she'd kind of hide herself behind somebody uh-huh. or go over in the corner.
She was intent on knowing everything that was going on, and she had an eagle eye on everything, but she really was yeah. leery.
Yeah.
But it was that look, that haunting look of hers
yeah.
that first, I think, broke our hearts and drew us in. There was another little guy there, and we'll be talking to him in a couple of days,
yeah.
named Nathan, who absolutely captured Norm's heart. And if he could have just
yes.
put him in a sling and brought him home with us, he would have.
I know.
We'll tell his story later.
Yeah.
But what was it that made you finally decide that Georgina had to be yours?
I don't know. I think God was orchestrating this.
I think so too.
All along. And to move back a little bit in our lives, mm-hmm. way back when we were married, and we talked about children, even before we were married, the desire or not the desire or whatever for one, just like any couple might do. And I said to Roy, I said, you know, I'd love to have a couple of kids of my own, but, you know, I have always had it in my heart to adopt a little child that did not have a mom or dad.
Is that right? I didn't know that part of the story.
I always wanted to do that. And he said, well, I think that's a great idea. I love that idea, too. So we sort of always kept that in the back of our mind. We had our two sons. And then we got over there and, you know, in the middle of Roy's career with textiles, he was in textile management for 17 years. And then we were called into the ministry and that all kind of blocked all of that thing called adoption. I mean, that's all, you know, you going, stopping your world and yeah. going to seminary and, you know, finances and whatever. So then we got over there and didn't really go over there thinking anything like this either. Not at all.
Sure.
But the more we dealt with this little girl, we just began to get so many babies in and we had so many volunteers, we ended up with like four toddlers at that time. And the toddlers took up, of course, a lot of time and people.
Mm-hmm.
The babies you could put down to bed and somebody could watch over them, you know. But the toddlers had to be cared for all day. And so volunteers would run out. We wouldn't have enough volunteers to let them have a little bit of time off. So mm-hmm. Pastor began to ask some of us that had grown close. And it was very unusual as I look back on it. We had begun to get real close to Georgina early on. Mm-hmm. And three or four other volunteer couples in Johannesburg that lived there had gotten interested and close to the other little toddlers. So she just asked all of us couples, I know that you're interested in this one and that one, and they seem to like you and cling to you. Could you take them for the weekend? Let us give mm-hmm. our volunteers some time off. So we began to do that. And of course, that just drew us closer and closer and closer. And we began to, you know, hate to take her back on Sunday. Aggie, I don't know if you remember
Aggie,
precious lady there. She was one of the early on volunteers and kind of managed things. And Roy said, why don't you call Auntie Aggie and ask her, can we bring her back on Monday morning this week? You know, and I began to see there, boy, you've gotten attached to this child. And then when we took her back, of course, she cried and cried and cried.
Oh,
and we took her back. Just nearly
break
broke
your heart.
Her heart.
Absolutely.
Have to do that. So he began to have a meeting sometime when it was time to take her back, and I had to start taking her back.
Oh,
he literally
ouch.
Couldn't do it. He just cried all the way home. So he said, I hate doing that. I just hate taking her back like that. He said, I know she's happy once we leave, but it's hurting me to take her back. I have that same feeling. But anyway, we began to get more involved in her, and we needed to get her in the system somehow because Georgina never had a birth certificate or any paperwork on mm-hmm. her at all. But we had to get all of that, and we got a social worker that began to help get her in the system. And she said, what we can do is we can declare her a foundling, and we will put her in your home like a foster mm-hmm. child. And then I can proceed to get her in the system and get her connected, you know, so she'll have paperwork, because the city would check on things like that. And
of course,
if you didn't have some sort of system, then they could remove that child from the home. In fact, we did have one child that got moved from the home. So that really put the speed on all of this, getting this done. So we had her in our home for that reason. And the next thing we knew, she said, we're going to go ahead and start working on paperwork for Georgina. So, you know, if someone comes along that would like to adopt her, that they will be able to do that. She just didn't let us know anything for like months and months. It seemed like it was so long before we heard anything. And by that time, we were getting closer and closer to Georgina. And I think we were beginning to feel like there's no way we're going to be able to leave this kid in Africa. So one day she called us. She said, I want you all to meet me in the court in Krugersdorf next Tuesday and bring Georgina. And this is for final adoptions.
Oh, my goodness.
We had already pretty much, you know, knew that was fixing to happen anyway.
Right.
Yeah, we went over there, and it was quite a morning. We never got into the judge's chambers. We had her with us, and finally, the judge and our social worker came out, and the judge shook Roy's hand, and she said, let me be the first to congratulate you on your little daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
We both melted in the floor, of course. And it was just a very special time, and she said something else that was very special to us. She said, she is now the same to you as your blood-born sons back in America are.
Oh.
And it just sort of drew it all together. And, of course, our sons back home were tickled. They had been over for visits and had been with Georgina and just already had fallen in love with her. So,
how old were they?
One was already moved out of our house when we left to come to Africa. Mm-hmm. And the other one was probably in his early 20s. Yeah, because our boys now are in their late 40s. So,
right. Not expecting a baby sister at that time of life,
Not expecting a baby sister, but they talk to each other just like they've always been together, and just have a good time when they're all together here at home.
Well, what was your heart feeling at that time? Did you really feel like you were saving a baby's life, or were you simply falling in love with a little child and saving the life didn't matter?
Well, I think it mattered. It mattered very much. I know probably somebody else would have adopted her, but it got to the point that we had fallen totally in love with her. Roy mentioned one day to somebody else when everything was over, they said, how did Shirley feel about this? He said, well, I think she felt fine, just like I did. But he said, if she had said no, I think I might just have died right here in Africa. But I think she just became part of us. There's no doubt in our hearts that she had just become part of us, and there was no way not to proceed.
Well, she had that imploring look, that needy, I don't know, atmosphere around her. Everybody, I think, just wanted to rescue her from whatever she was thinking or feeling. She was just the most appealing little girl. You could just tell that she was going to grow up to be something really interesting. And that she has done.
Yes, she has. She's a determined little girl. And I think that we saw, too, in that little child, that she saw security in us.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Cher Nelson. We'll hear more from Cher and Shirley Smith on our next broadcast. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word Compassion to 53445. That's the word Compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.